Blog Talk Radio.
Join us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and listen to us at www.naturestalkshow.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Ken McKean welcoming you to Nature's Talk Show, tonight's Tank Topics with Ken Borman, Ron Bishop, and myself. Before we get into tonight's show, though, I would like to invite our listeners to please go to Nature's Talk Show, www.naturestalkshow.com. Join in our live chat room, and you can join in as we talk along our subject. I believe Ken Borman, he's usually in the chat room there. So if you have questions or anything to comment about tonight's subject, because we've got a really cool show tonight with all these guys. We're all veterans of going out and getting together at these events, so we're going to dive right in and say hello to Ken and Ron real quick, and then on with the show. Hi, Ken. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, guys?
Hello.
Well, I think tonight's going to be fun.
I am in the chat room if anyone's got any questions. There's one person in with me already. So come along, join in, and while you're there, have a look at the other web pages on naturestalkshow.com. There's some new pages up with some interesting information on there. So have a look around the website. It's getting bigger every day.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Now, we're getting ready for the new year, and guys, I'm actually working, getting down to a deadline on an event. The show is called Tank Topics for a reason. We're into it for the fishes. But the event we're going to be talking about tonight is convention.
it's a subject dear to my heart. There's nothing better, in my opinion, than going, meeting up with old friends, making new friends, and learning about our hobby.
Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, we're in London. We're planning our big 60th anniversary convention for the London Aquarius Society, and we got a real good crew coming up for speakers and stuff like that. You yourself, Ken, and we're getting an awful lot of excitement on the web pages and stuff like that, and a lot of advertising from all the different clubs on how anxious they are to London, May, long weekend. And they're really looking forward to it already. So we got a big show to present, and I think nobody's going to be disappointed.
Wow.
I'd like to just point out there something, though. Ron, you said the long weekend in May. That's the Canadian long weekend in May. It's actually the week before the American long weekend in May.
All right. Okay.
We've got a talk about that.
Well, what's kind of interesting is both those weekends I'm going to be coming in visiting with you guys and giving a talk and bringing some artwork for everybody, but I'm also going the next weekend to the American Killifish Association National Convention, where I will also be doing some talks, and I'm also scheduled to do the awards for the American Killifish Association. But before we get into talking about the conventions themselves and what it is, because I want to get into the mechanics of it, we'll talk about the behind-the-scenes things that goes on, to bring these events to the people, and then we'll talk about the excitement that it is when you're coming up and you're seeing friends you haven't seen in years, and you just get right back into the saddle with them. It's just a very exciting thing. But when we go back into our early days, and we're joined, we all joined our first tropical fish club. What I remember, guys, is our local club having a local fish show, like sometimes at a shopping center or something. They'd give us a space, where we'd set up tanks and have people come in and judge your fishes. You'd show all kinds of fish, too, not just Achilles or Bettas or anything. You have multiple classes. And I remember teething myself when I was still a kid in high school on those kind of shows. How about you guys?
I wasn't much more than about 11 years old when I went to my first show. And it was one put on by the London Aquarius Society, which was my home base. And it was exciting. It was terrifying. It was everything, because you never did it before, and you, you wanted to make sure you did the right job and how to set the fish up and how to pick out the right fish, and then you sat there and paced the floor hoping that, you know, you did the right job and your fish was good enough to come up against all these veterans that were there showing the fish that done it for years.
Yeah,
it was always a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember pacing the floor. How about you, Ken?
My experience is actually a very, very, very different to both of you guys. I'm, of course, from Australia. That's why I speak funny. And over there, Australia is such a big country with a relatively few people. And I really didn't join my first club until I was in my 30s. Even though I started keeping fish when I was 9, I had an uncle who had a fish store, and I got all my information and everything from him. I actually didn't know there was an organized side to the hobby, as in clubs and that, until I was in my 20s. And by that stage, I was working, and the nearest club was a 3-hour drive away, and I was too busy doing other things at the time. But so, you know, it was in my 30s before I joined my first club, and then I was actually 4 hours away from that club and working every Friday night, which was when they used to meet. So I didn't even go to a club meeting until I was in my 40s.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't participate in the shows and all that. I just potted around and played with my fish and had fun by myself. But I'm very, very sorry to have missed that. Now that I'm living here in Canada and I've seen the organized side of the hobby, I know I missed out on a lot. And I'd urge any young person listening to this, join yourself into a club and experience all this, what Ken and Ron are going to talk about tonight.
Well, one of the coolest things I remember doing is that, you know, it's really interesting when you go to your first show. You know, as we mentioned, the local shows, you know, your fish club usually puts it on. You see local people from around city, you know, cities kind of close. They'll bring their fish. Sometimes, you know, other cities' fish clubs will join in. And you go to their fish shows and stuff. But one of the coolest shows I got to go to next would be a regional, specialized fish show. I went to, it was 1974, and the Greater Cincinnati Killifish Association held their first killifish review in just across the river in Covington, Kentucky. And I remember riding a little Honda motorcycle to that show. It was 80-some miles. No, it was 120-some miles, about 125 miles to Cincinnati from where I lived. So I had a backpack with a few pairs of killifish that I took down there with me. I run, you know, 120 miles on a little one-cylinder Honda 100cc motorcycle was rough. the time I got down there, I was numb. And there were people taking pictures of me trying to walk, you know. But that's what you do when you're in, you know, you're so interested in these events. You'll hop on a motorcycle or something. You'll drive, you know, a 2-hour, 3-hour ride. It was about a 3-hour ride on that little motorcycle. And, but it was so fun, you know, and seeing AK members that I'd only seen in the, read about in the business newsletters or the time to Killy notes. And I got to meet some of these people in person at this show, you know, and got to see some. For a kid, I think I was about 19 at the time, maybe now I was about 20. And for someone at that age, you know, to see all these killifish and everything, I spent my budget. I think at that very first show, I spent $23 or $24 on my very first pair of killifish. Pair of Avicimin Pascheni, I still remember.
Yeah, those shows were quite a memory, because my first convention I ever went to, Herbert Axelrod was speaking. and it was in Dearborn, Michigan, at one of the KOAC conventions, and I think it was the 13th. And I think this year, if memory serves me correctly, it's 57, isn't it, Ken?
For the KOAC convention? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, Ron, yeah.
And it's like, wow, where's all the time gone? And all the people you met and all the laughs that you had, it just, there's just so many memories and so many good times and so many memories. And this is why when you walk into all these shows now, everybody walks in and you get the handshake, you get the hug. I mean, it's not like you're meeting a bunch of strangers. It's like you're meeting a bunch of family that you haven't seen for a while. And it's just so neat how great this hobby of ours really is. And
yeah,
I look forward to it any time.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it, you know. It's a family get-together, you know. And because I've known these people, they're, you know, 40 years. You make friends at these events that will last you, you know, your whole life. And like you said, Ron, when you get together, hugs and everything, you sit right down, and next thing you know, you've got a gang of you sitting there, and you're going, talking about past fish you had, talking about new fish and things you've done, what's going on with the families, how the kids are doing, and how the grandkids are doing now.
Yeah, like I remember, like, my first one, and some of the people that you met, like, they were lifelong friends that you met, and it's almost like you can't wait until you see those people all over again to find out, you know, what's happened this year, what are you doing this year, and you get a chance to talk about this, that, and everything else, and it's just like old home week when you start meeting up with these people and rubbing elbows with them, and it doesn't matter what your profession is, what your hobbies, what you're raising, anything like that. Everybody's equal, and I think that's what's so much fun about the hobby, because everybody shares so much knowledge, and it's so free that the knowledge is shared, and everybody seems to be on that same level. Like, no one seems to be better than each other. Everybody gets down and they talk, and they have fun, and, you know, they bull crap just as much as everybody else does, and it's just fun.
You know, along with of course, along with the friends, is hearing the different people talk, the lectures. For the new novice, you know, that's one of the highlights too, where they can hear the masters, you know, get up there and tell their secrets, talk about adventures, you know, find out where the killifishes or the cichlids or, you know, the live bears that we love, you know, see where they come from, see what the wilds look like, you know. So the lectures and the bringing the people in like that, you know, it's, I've made some really great friends with our foreign guests. One of the things I always liked at these shows is meeting people from around the world. And I have. I've bunked with Tony Wojcicki. Let's see here. I've drank beer with Winfried Stieglein. I've given Wolfgang Eberl artwork. You know, and it's really a great, you know, a chance to meet, you know, these people and rub elbows with them. And sometimes, you know, what you'll do is when we were up in Colorado at the Denver, at the AK National Convention back in, I think it was 2005, and Wolfgang Eberl and another DKG-er, I'd have to look in the thing, I forget his name, but we sat up to like 3 o'clock in the morning just talking about all kinds of stuff, how the United States worked and everything, you know, and it was really fun, you know, just talking and chatting about, you know, something besides fish with these people too, you know, they have a lot of interest in different things going on. It was a blast, you know, just chatting.
I know what
chatting
you mean,
solving
Ken.
All the problems of the world.
Yeah.
I've got someone who I met at a convention. I rate him as a very near and dear friend now, and that's Mr. Heiko Blair. Ever since I first met him, I've seen him subsequently, I suppose, 8 or 9 times now at different conventions. And he always comes along, and we talk about our families and everything. And this guy, I've been reading his books virtually my whole life. And that's how easy it is. I just went up to him and said hello the first time, and that's all these guys want you to do. Just go up, be friendly to them, and they'll talk to you about your fish. If you got any questions, ask them. That's what they're there for.
Yeah.
And they can turn, as we've both evidenced, the three of us have evidenced, you know, they'll turn into possibly very good friends of yours.
Hmm. And and you always look forward to seeing them after that, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, this is great. You know, when it comes to making friends, you know, these shows are just hard to beat. That's for sure. And what's another cool thing too is you'll see a lot of your friends will attend multiple type conventions. I've run across my friends. I myself have popped up at Cichlid conventions, you know, or I went to the NEC convention show. I think it was year before last.
Mm-hmm.
Been coast to coast and top to bottom. So it's a lot. Once again, it's a lot of fun. And the hotels and things like that too. You know, those are a blast. I like staying at hotels myself. I don't know about you guys, but I think it's fun.
Yeah, we're. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm
I was just going to say, my daughter is coming to all the conventions these days, not to go and hear the talks or anything. She just likes being in hotels. So so we've always got to take her now. But then, you know, it's just surprising how much she has picked up from going to all these conventions. She says she doesn't listen, but I know she does when my wife takes her into the talks. I'm usually not there because I've usually got a vendor table at the conventions, so I've got to man that. But the talks I have listened to have all been excellent and very educational. And that's the main point. You go to learn something.
Yeah.
As well as have fun.
You know, real quick, we should mention this to our listeners, too. There are things to do for your spouses and kids if they don't want to attend the fish part of the convention. Usually the hosting clubs will make sure that things like museum tours or shopping tours and different things that the cities are known for, you know, to go to their local zoos or different things, you know. So there's a lot of events for family as well at these national conventions. And I've met a lot of the different people's wives and kids too, you know, and it's a lot of fun. Especially some of the things I've got to do is watch some of the kids grow, and are now working in the hobby as well.
A good example of what you're just saying there, Ken, is what Ron's Club is doing for the COAC convention next year. Do you want to tell us what that is, Ron? What, as an example of what the wives can do if they don't want to listen to the lectures.
I've gotten a hold of the City of London, and since this is a great city that we live in, I have the City of London is going to supply me with bus passes, and they're going to bus passes, and then there's you got time that you can go to the lottery, the slots if you want to go to the slots. There's museums. We got it lined up for some entrees or passes and stuff like that for your dinners. It's just a whole bunch of stuff. Like, City of London is really laying their arms out for all these delegates coming in from all over the world, really, to come and see our and celebrate our 50th anniversary with us. And we've got guest speakers. Well, we got yourself coming from New Mexico. We got from Boston. We got a little bit of all over the countryside. We've got a lot of interest happening with our convention this year. Again, being our 60th, we're even planning on having a karaoke, the dance and karaoke, and just something, a whole bunch of different things to get the wives and the spouses all in there. The City of London's given us bus passes for the whole weekend and maps, city maps. So if the spouses don't want to participate in what's going on during the days, during the talks and all that, they got their bus passes. They can hop on a bus and go all over the city, all the different shopping areas, because everything's all going to be mapped out, routed for them. So it's a whole bunch of general interest. And we've seen just in some of the feedback that's coming back now from the different clubs and just different spouses, like, oh, my God, finally they're doing something for us, that we don't have to sit around and you know, be involved with something that we really don't care about. We're only there because our spouses are there. And it's, yeah, we're really getting the jazz, and it seems like we're getting more surprises each time. And one of the things which we're fortunate on this year is we're having a show in conjunction with a lot of little splinter groups. I'm calling them splinters, like specialized groups, like the Killies. The Southern Ontario Killie Association is joining us. They're sponsoring two or three classes and a best of show just for their part of it. We have the Trans-Canada Guppies, a new club that's just started here in Ontario, and we got them sponsoring four or five classes. And we have the Bettis coming in, and they're sponsoring, and they're putting on a show themselves too. So we got all these different factions of our hobby coming in to join us, and there's only one person that's going to win in this, and that's everybody that comes to that auction, because they're going to get a chance to see a whole bunch of different fish, different classes, different specialties. Like I said, I am just thrilled to death. And I mean, you can ask Ken Borman. When I start rattling off about what's going to happen at this convention, I almost get goosebumps going up my back because I just get so excited about it.
I can hear it in your voice. I can hear you just, you know, and because, you know, when it comes to conventions, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that, you know, that the average person, I remember when I first started going to, as a kid, teenager, to these different shows, you know, I did not understand, you know, all the effort that it takes to put on a show. What's that? Oh. But I never realized, you know, the effort until I started being asked to be a speaker at different shows and things like that, you know, and started learning what the show people. Then sometimes you end up getting involved with putting on a show. I remember my one aquarium club I used to belong to back in Central Indiana, putting on a club a show, you know, and helping organize stuff. So. Now you guys are organizing a show. What goes on? What's the first thing that goes on behind the scenes here that for our listeners to you know, to find out what happens? How do you guys start figuring out what you want to do?
Well, what we did even before last year's convention, this was about 2 years ago. We're sitting at the KOAC meeting, the association meeting, and it was 2016 will be London's 60th anniversary. We want to do something special. So London put a bid in for that convention back then. And really, with the ball was in our court at that point in the game, and the planning started. But when we initially went up to the club member, like the London club itself, we said, here's what we'd like to do. How much backing can I have? How many people are in support of what we're going to do? And my executive and the other Ken that's here, he can vouch for what my executive is all about. Basically, my secretary said, here, it's all in the stick. All we got to do is change the dates and the times, and we're good to go. You tell them we're going to take it, we're going to put on 2016 KOAT convention. And we got the ball rolling. We knew at that point that we had all the support for us. The other clubs were excited because, now they've got a venue that they're going to know that the planning's already starting. And when the planning gets a chance to start, you get that extra boom going on, then it just all you can do is just work on your speakers. Then I called, I sent out a ton of emails. Well, I'm lying. I didn't send out a ton of emails. I sent out six emails. And out of my six emails, or seven emails, sorry, out of my seven emails I sent, six of them said, we'll be there. Give us the time, give us the date. We're not missing this for nothing. And all of a sudden, when we started going over our whole plan, it was like, oh, my God, look what I've done. I booked an extra speaker. And it was like, this is wonderful. This is our special anniversary. We have an extra speaker. We're going to have a dinner dance. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And hopefully we're going to set the world on fire with this convention. And we've had all the different facets. We got a good show going on. We got all the different splinters going on. And the speakers, bar none on my speakers, I'm thrilled to death on it, because just for your sake, we have Karen Randall talking on plants. We have Hernan Lopez Fernandez. He's going to do talks on diversity and density of fish populations. There's lots of pictures, and he's talking to the everyday guy. He's not talking to the people that's just specialized in all this. He's from the Royal Ontario Museum out of Toronto. Mark De Niro, well-known speaker, he's coming in to talk on anabandids. And he said, if you need him, I've got 25 extra talks I could do. We have Ken McKeegan. I am thrilled to death, Ken, meeting you finally, giving you a handshake. He's talking to you on the phone. It's quite an excitement, you coming up doing your Achilles. We've seen all your portraits. We're just looking forward to seeing all of that and meeting you face-to-face. And
thank
giving
you.
Giving you good old Canadian hospitality. Leslie Dick, she's chairman of the NEC annual convention. She's quite involved with CARES program and all that. She's coming in to do a talk on Goodyeds and Live Bears. So I've seen her program, and she's got quite a talk. My wife Annette used to work with Leslie Dick with the CARES program when Annette was in charge of the CARES program here in London, for London, Ontario. And we have Ray Lucas coming in doing the welcome meet and greet on the Friday. Then we got the big fish show. We got all that, like I said, the dinner and the dance. We even got the mayor coming, and he's doing a proclamation for the London Aquarius Society for our 60th anniversary.
Wow.
And everything's just like I can just feel the adrenaline just from this whole thing. Our rooms, we got Fanshawe College. And at Fanshawe College, KLAC's been there a few times. This would be our second go-around for London. And the rooms are, we have a two-bedroom suite which sleeps four. Cost per night is, we'll say, around $83 per night. Well, that's two bedrooms in there. So if you and somebody else, or if you want to put four people in that room, it's $41 a night, and you're getting a continental breakfast for $41 a night.
Wow.
So you can spend the whole weekend for $125, really. And that's like Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. You got your two-bedroom suites, or you can have a four-bedroom suite, and it's even cheaper. It's less than $40 if you get a four-bedroom suite. But our theme this year for London is yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So we'll go off all of yesterday's memories and all of today's, what's going to happen, and all of tomorrow, what's going to happen in the future. So, yeah, we're really jacked up over this. And in conjunction with KOAC and with the Guppies, with the Bettas, with the Killies, and whatever else happens to fall our way in the next 6 months.
You know, this is funny because my Killie talk is going to be kind of like that. I'm going to be talking about the origin of the Killie fishes, where they come from, yesterday on them, talking about where they are today, the modern Killie fishes and everything. Then there'll be a little bit about the future of the Killie fishes, you know. So my lecture will even be kind of themed like that. It's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, and right now we have 36 show classes. And something else that we're doing, which it's never really ever been done, and we're kind of excited, we're really excited about it, is our fish show is going to be judged by a KOAC judge, plus all the other KOAC judges that have been members of London Aquarius Society. So we may have 15 or 20 judges there. But they're all going to be members of the London Aquarius Society, past, present. And even everybody's going to get a chance to maybe judge a class or judge two classes. But it's all like, I've been a member of the London Club. I'm a KOAC judge, so that's my ticket that I can judge a couple classes for the show. So it's kind of you know, like a thank you for our history in the club. And it's, like I said, it's something that's never been done. We'll have one main boss, KOAC judge, to look after the responsibilities. And if anybody that's judging has fish entered into the show, because you're only going to enter a class or two, you don't be judging anything that you've got put in, and the final decision is going to be on for our main judge. So I'm really thrilled about something like this. This is just something different, and this is like a little bit of a thank you for our yesterday, today, and tomorrow for our KOAC people and our London people, you know. So, yeah, kind of neat.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, there's when it comes to setting up a show, what goes on behind the scenes for, you know, how do you guys schedule getting, stands and et cetera, and aquariums? When you walk into your show, you've brought your fish with you, you know, you're getting ready to set your fish up, you know, you're a participant. You know, I've been there in these conventions early on because, you know, being part of a lot of times the show, you know, having to get my talk set up and everything early. And a lot of times I'll even set up a table and with my artwork and displays as well. And, you know, you walk in, though, but when you're a show, fish show or two, because I've walked in with fish. You know, what's the first thing that they're going to want to do? Who's the first person that they're going to want to talk with when they bring in a box of fish to show?
Okay, when they walk through the front door, they'll be meted by our reception committee. And our reception committee will lead them all in the right direction where they have to go. Our show is kind of neat because part of our show, or main part of the show, is all going to be set up in classrooms at Fanshawe College. So everything, they got benches where the classrooms are, and where the benches are, there's electrical at both sides, and everything's all right there. We'll have the classes all laid out, and we're going to have really two whole classrooms for the fish to be all benched on. All the tables are going to be the same, and I'm pretty sure they're a black table. So, yeah, it's kind of exciting the way that things are all seeming to fall into place. And it's a real fish show friendly exhibit area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's as things go, and then it's just going to be right in between the two fish show areas is going to be where the vendors are going to be. And then you walk down a hall and you're speaker's room is right there in between really the two showrooms, and then where the dinner and all that's going to be is just down a hallway or two. So everything's in nice reasonable close proximity of where everything's got to be. So Fanshawe seems to be a fantastic area, and they've dealt with us, they know what we want. So it's, here's what you did last time and it worked. Here's what we can offer you to now, Maybe it'll work a little bit better for you. And everybody's worked, everybody's got hand in hand and different ideas and everything. So dealing with a place that's used to putting on conventions, that's renowned for its food because they got a fantastic culinary sector in the Fanshawe College. So everything's there right for the picking. It's just a matter of say, here's what I'd like to do, what can you do for me, and how can you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, I love the banquets and stuff. You know, eating's one of my parts of the convention as well.
Oh, well, that's good. If you're, I'm one of those short, fat guys, not like you tall, skinny guys. And I don't like being pushed away from food myself. So, yeah, any time that we've been there, Ken Borman's been there probably 3 or 4 years at Fanshawe over the past 10 or 12 years, and he could vouch. I don't think I've seen a bad bit of food come out of that place.
Wow, cool.
That's going to be good. But usually what people do when they do come into a show is go up and see the show. It's usually someone who's central to running it, and you got to check all the fish off, and they make sure that all the fish are entered in the right classes and all that, and they show you where to bench your fish. You put them up in your little fish tanks. So obviously you got to fill them with water. There's usually water on hand for that. You put your fish in, and then you enjoy yourself, basically,
yeah.
Don't you, Ron?
Yeah. We even have a brewery right here in London, and it's not that far away from the convention.
See, it's sounding better all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, see? How many tickets do you need?
You know, that's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to being a part of the show, you know. And for our listeners wanting to join the show there as well, last year I did something for you guys. You give a prize for early entry. And I did a special painting of a one-of-a-kind 9x12-inch canvas painting of a betta.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a beautiful print color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I tried to find something different, you know. And but here in the next couple of weeks here, probably before right around the first of the year, I'll be getting another painting to you guys for, once again, early entry for your show. I'm going to do a killifish on a 9x12 canvas.
Oh,
so,
then I better get my room because I want that one myself.
Yeah, no, it'll be this painting is going to be especially done just for this show.
Hey,
you know, so,
can I ask a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
When is the KOAC convention?
May the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of 2016.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
And that's another thing, too. I guess we should say that there's conventions all over the United States, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. Well, starting up with some of the first of the big shows to get ready for conventions, I'm currently finishing up the paintings as wards for the Michiana Aquarium Society in South Bend, Indiana. Their show is, I don't have the date, I believe it's the second or third weekend of February, and they have it's an all killifish show, and it's the first killifish show sponsored by American Killifish Association affiliate club. So you start gaining points for some of the American Killifish Association conventions shows. So, at any rate, I'm doing 49 paintings, best of shows, and 45 class awards for them. 8x10 and 9x12 black canvas killifish paintings. So get your killifish to South Bend here in February and win one.
Wow, you're making me drool about all this painting you're going to do. Just because I've seen some of the stuff that you do already, and it just is like, oh, gosh. And just for interest's sake, the people that won last year, the the Bed of Portrait, they have already got their room booked for our convention already. I just got the lowdown that they already had it booked, and you know, like, wow, they were way ahead of the game. It was like wonderful. It was like, they want another crack at getting another one of those fantastic portraits that you do.
Well, they're going to get a crack at a killifish this year here, and we'll see what next year we do, because this will probably be a fun thing to do every year for you guys, you know.
Oh, I know there's, like I said, there's people that, oh, Ken's doing a portrait again? Oh, that thing was just too beautiful to let somebody else win. So I'm pretty sure there's about 4 rooms already booked for the convention already.
Well, be sure and advertise that there is a donation coming from me, an original painting just for the show.
I advertise it every chance I get, Ken.
There you go. Well, because we want to bring people into the show, you know.
We're,
but that was fun.
Actually, after that, how about we do a rundown on what's coming up for 2016?
Absolutely.
As we said, the Michiana killifish, you said, wasn't it, Ken?
Yeah, Michiana Aquarium Society's Killifish Review. That's in February.
And then in April 8th to the 10th, you've got the Northeast Council up in Connecticut, where Ken was saying he spoke last year. That's at Rocky Hill, Connecticut. So that's April 8th to the 10th. And again, the Michiana Aquarium Society is hosting the American Light Bearer Association convention next year as well. And that's the end of April. That's April 29th to May 1st, so in South Bend, Indiana. So they're going to be busy next year.
Yeah.
So that's there. And then after that, of course, we've been talking about May is Kaowak, and the convention in London, Ontario, that we've all been talking about. And then the very week after that, we've got the American Killifish Association on the long weekend, the American long weekend. I believe that's what, Columbus Day, Ken?
No, it's Memorial Day.
Memorial Day. I can never remember what they're all called.
Yeah, me neither.
And then I think there's a bit of a gap until you get to the American Cichlid Association early July. And that's going to be hosted by the Cincinnati Cichlid Club. But it's going to be across the river in Kentucky, just across the river in the town that you mentioned earlier, Ken, where you rode your bike.
Yeah,
I believe that's it. It's still part of Cincinnati, but it just happens to be across the river.
Yeah.
In the other state. after that, of course, there's a marine one too, MACNA. The marine aquarium people have a convention as well, which is huge. It's very, very well attended. I believe it's in San Diego next year. I'm just not sure of the date, though. But San Diego is a great spot for it, and I'm sure if you're interested in marine fish, that'll be a must attend.
Yeah.
What else is after that? The Aquatic Experience in Chicago. That's a growing thing. It tries to cover the whole gamut of the aquatic hobby, and including saltwater, freshwater, all the different categories of fish, and it's a very well attended thing in Chicago each year. What did I miss, Ken? And
well,
one?
Now there's local affiliate clubs that will be putting on shows too. I know the Texas Area Killifish Organization, I think, has a show in August or July. Let's see, there's the West Coast Weekend put on by the American. I think it's the Bay Area Killifish Association. I'm not exactly sure of the date on that, but I know there's the West Coast Weekend. Let's see here. Probably the things to do is just be sure, you know, go to the different organization websites and look and see what the affiliate clubs are doing, and you'll find many shows specializing in your area, I'm sure. There's a lot of different ones. You know, you got your different better groups doing shows, I guess. Let's see here. I think there's a big is there a big show coming up down in November down in Florida? I think.
There usually is.
Yeah.
I don't know who it would be. It's probably Tampa Bay Club or one of the clubs down there is probably hosting a large weekend. A lot of clubs do that.
Now, there's two things at some of these clubs that I find really fascinating. The American Killifish Association has two, a fish sale room and, of course, their Sunday auction. And both are events that I will be attending this year. I hope to get a low number to get into the fish sale room because I have target species of killifish that I'm going to try to pick up. And also on the Sunday killifish auction, I'm driving this year, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a nine passenger SUV, so.
So you got a couple of star eyes for the back.
I've got some empty aquariums too.
Not for long.
Not for long. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know how to raffle off some artwork to make me some auction money.
That always seems to work.
Oh, I do. When I auction off things, I'll have me $100 or so of money to that I will definitely put back into the auction. But since I'm driving this year, that means I can bring back a couple extra bag of fish.
And also, if you're a taxi driver, you can stop a lot and get gas, and they just think you're not getting very good gas mileage in that vehicle. And then you just put that, and then you got extra spending money too.
Yeah, there you go.
Some of the people I've met in the hobby, you can get away with that.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know, this is what's kind of fun, too, when you plan a trip to a convention. I'll be planning to drive up to Denver, Colorado, from where I live. I live here in New Mexico, just a little south of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And for me, it's a straight drive up Interstate to I-25. All the way to Denver, Colorado. And it'll be a beautiful drive. It takes about 10 hours to get there from here. And I've driven as far away as the AKA National Convention held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 25-hour drive straight through to for a trip like that.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that anymore. The last time I went to the AKA National Convention, my daughter and I went to Cincinnati, to St. Louis, and we actually spent the night in a hotel during the drive there.
Yeah, but it's all those are the memories that you have, right?
We had a blast, my daughter and
yep.
I driving, you know. We had a really great time going across, even stopping in the hotel, you know, by the Oklahoma border, you know. We was getting tired, and we just kicked back and watched TV in a hotel, you know. And we had a good time doing that. And then coming back, we drove all the way through.
when you're done, you want to get home and you want to throw the feet back and retaliate a little bit before you got to get back up and get back into the good old humdrum of that work life.
You know, something I always did was when I come back from a convention or something like that, I felt energized. You know, it's like I, you know, just really didn't really want to go to bed when I got home. Even if I flew in, you know, I was ready to kick up and do something. And the times I've been able to drive or something like that and bring back fish like that, you know, it's like, oh, I got all these fish to play with and sitting there for a couple hours, you know, just opening bags and putting the fish in little jars and stuff so I could acclimate them to my water and just checking them out and just.
Yeah, but if you don't. if you don't leave a convention tired, then you haven't done something right.
Yeah, tired and energized at the same time.
Yeah. You're like, whoa, I don't want to do that again. Oh, next week maybe.
Yeah. And you do. You walk up and down. You're meeting people. You're talking and getting together, and just, you know, it's. We've done all kinds of things. We've taken off, went out and got something to eat, and then come back to the convention. There's one from friends that when we get together, he always has an awesome, really great cigar to sit and smoke with me.
Oh,
nice ones. I mean, we're talking. Top line. It's like, oh, yeah, this is what it's all about.
Huh. I haven't done that for a long time.
Yeah, I can't do it anymore. I got breathing problems. So it was fun while, you know, memories. Memories that are made at these conventions.
Yeah, I'd have breathing problems if I did it because my wife would choke me.
Now, we got to mention, we're getting close to the top of the hour here, so we got to mention the auction, guys. What... Auctions at these conventions are absolutely. If you want to go and get fish, this is probably to me the best time and the best way to get fish. The auction at these conventions. I've picked up some of the best fish ever. I've picked up more species than I've known what to do with at a convention. I've got great bargains, and I've also put down some heavy cash for a fish that I really wanted. How about you guys?
Oh, certainly. And it's kind of nice because you've had a chance to rub elbows with the breeder and you've been able to pry their brains with as much information as they ever wanted to share. And it's just great because now you know the ins and outs of that fish that you're buying. And you know that you've already bent elbows with somebody who's been breeding this fish, and you don't have to be afraid. He's like, well, I don't know if I really understand all about this fish. I'm going to give him a call because now that Bob that you spent the weekend with, unless you drove him absolutely crazy, you know he's going to give you as much information about that fish so you can be as successful with that fish as he has been. And I think that's the greatest part about the auctions and stuff. Because you get to know these people.
I have such a tale about that. You're going to love it. One year, it might have been at a Greater Cincinnati Killifish Association show. I think that's where it was. And I bid on a pair of killifish called Aphiosemion Bitaniatum, a Jebel Ode location. And I was admiring the pair, you know, looking at the bag. And this guy comes over and he goes, I'm going to tell you a little bit about these fish, you know, and help you raise them. He goes, I got the original pair from a guy named Ken McKeon living in Indiana.
Wow.
And I smiled at him and said, I'm Ken McKeon. I said I'd lost the population. I wanted to get them back. He goes, oh, well, I guess I don't need to tell you how to raise them then.
and that is so neat. And then you just wait for the guy to say something nice about you, right?
Oh, he loved it. He was going to come over and tell me how to raise these fish, you know, because he got the information from me, and he was going to make sure, pass it on, you know, and because he was real happy with the fish. And, you know, of course, as we know now, the Jebel Ode location that is in the hobby is considered one of the most beautiful of the Chrome Aphiosemion group. And believe it or not, guys, that fish came from my tanks from when I was a teenager in 1972.
Wow,
I'm the first one that brought the... bring the Ijeba Ode location. And I've looked into it always to find out where that fish come from, and all indicators point to my tanks. And it was my very first successful killifish I ever raised. And, of course, it's now known as the Ijeba Ode, and it is genetically distinct from the other populations of Bitaniatum.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So that's what can happen in the fish hobby. You know, you've been in it a long time. Who knows? You may end up with a population of fish that you actually brought into the hobby. And I can, say that. I am the one.
Yeah.
And that's a good example, too, of how helpful. I'm sorry. I was just going to say that's a really good example, too, of how helpful people can be at these conventions when they've got some time to relax and sit back and talk to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we. I've gotten. Well, I now am on the talk circuit. You know, I used to be the young kid going to the classes, and now I am the person that comes up there in the front and passes on the information that I've learned over the years to the next generation, you know, and add what I've learned on top of that, because I've learned some little tricks of the trade on some fish, you know, that just surprises people when you make these discoveries. When I discovered that Nathalebia zonatus was best kept at 10 to 11 to 12 weeks for its egg incubation instead of 5 to 6 months. And other people started making that discovery, you know, that sometimes we're keeping these fish wrong, and it takes the right person to come along and break their little code and secret. And that's what these shows are about. You get to talk to the people that have made these breakthroughs and help make our fish hobby a little bit easier, you know.
Yeah, it's just, like, that was one of the things that I noticed when I first got into the hobby. If you had the questions and you had the people there that's already done it, nobody's afraid to give you those secrets. They're always, everybody's there. They've always got their hands out. They're always out to give you a hand because they want you to be successful in the hobby. Because if you're successful in the hobby, and in the case like you went through your own experience, like you lost your group of breeders, and then all of a sudden you bump into someone that's got some of the babies from yours. And it's just from the knowledge and the words that you passed on to these people that, you know, that's kept this group viable, and then you got a chance to get back your own stuff again.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just one of those neat little things in this hobby that we have.
Yeah, that it is. You know, and, guys, I have nothing but great things to say about going to conventions, and I'm looking forward to any of our listeners out there that's going to join us at the KOAC show in London. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting everybody there. I'm looking forward to meeting new people at the up in Denver at the American Killifish Association National Convention, and also shaking hands and just kicking back with all my old friends and as well. So, you know, it's going to be fun. And looking forward to sitting back with you guys and telling fish tales in person instead of over the phone.
Yeah. It'd be nice to do face-to-face and lie together, wouldn't it, instead of just lying over the phone.
No, I don't lie. I exaggerate.
No, it'd just be nice just to, you know, just get us there and, you know, like we could talk about this, that, and everything else, and who knows, maybe we'll have another crowd that wants to listen to the three amigos.
There you go.
Yes, actually, I don't know if a lot of our listeners probably don't know, but Ken and I have never actually met in real life.
Yeah.
Have we?
No, no. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah. So even though we've done shows for years on Nature's Talk Show, we've never actually met. So this is going to be, next year is going to be a great year.
You know, it's like we know each other so well, and you know, I consider you a very good friend, and so I can't wait till we get to rub elbows out and when you show me around the area there. It's gonna be a blast. But that's what happens when you you know, the way you meet people, being able to come and do the show with you guys. I'll get to meet you guys in person. You know, and I hope for our listeners out there that are starting to go to shows, you know, that you decide to go jump in. There's so many things you can do at a show. I used to be a runner at the auction, you know, just because I wanted to be up close to the fish when it come time to bid on them. Hey, what a better place to be than to be the guy holding the bag there, you know, and I would bid.
Yeah, it's a great spot. Then if you lose the bid, you could always drop the bag, right?
Ooh. Yeah.
actually, what we might be able to do is organize a show from the KOA convention, seeing the three of us are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
We'll have to see if we can do something with that.
Yeah. Maybe come on a little bit earlier, you know, or something, so we don't interfere with the award ceremony or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's a lot of fun. We can talk to different people around there and stuff, too.
That's just on the Friday night. That's the meet and greet and all that stuff. So, and then the Saturday, there's a full range of everything going on. But then on Sunday, we've got the auction and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, and maybe, just maybe, no, I won't be bringing my art box, so you won't be able to talk me into doing an art demo. So I'll just have to talk about my fish experience with everybody.
Oh, that'll be amazing, because I'm counting the days to, like I said, to shake your hand and meet you personally and talk to you about this, that, and everything else, so.
Well, thank you. It's going to be a blast. And that's, once again, that's what's so fun about these shows, you know, brings people together from all over, and we all have a common bond, you know. And I cannot say, I think of a hobby that's been better to me in my life than the tropical fish hobby. You know, it took a kid that lived out in the farm, and look where I am today, you know. I get to travel around the country and talk with people and meet people, and it's been fantastic. So, I love the fish hobby, and going to the shows is just so much, you know, thrilled to be able to do it. So, do you guys have anything to add, real quick?
Actually, I've got one thing. We're in the planning stages of something very exciting here at Nature's Talk Show. This is only going to be very brief because it's nothing's set in concrete yet. But we're looking to possibly attend some shows as Nature's Talk Show. And you'll certainly hear about anything that might be happening. We've got streaming YouTube. We've got all sorts of exciting things happening in the future. And so stay tuned, listen in, and we'll let you know all the information as it comes to hand. As soon as we know that we've got something definite, we'll let all you, our listeners, know, and our hosts as well, because we're all going to be involved. So there's something very exciting to look forward to next
year. Exactly. Yeah. Very. Yeah. Exactly. So thank you very much, Ken. We do have an announcement coming up on the starting of the next year. We're going to be making some changes in our programming. The Nano Reef Hour will no longer be part of the show. So coming up on Sundays, Ken Borman and I are going to be joining it together again to bring you the shows that we've been, we've been doing these shows for a while now, but we're moving to Sunday for Nature's Talk Show, and we're going to be bringing you the first Sunday of the month, Nature's Talk Show. The second Sunday, we'll be doing the Green Scene. You can join us on the third Sunday for Habitats of Nature. And on the fourth Sunday of the month, you can join us for Monsters of Nature. And we'll be keeping the Fine Art of Paleontology on Mondays. And, of course, our tropical fish lineup on Saturdays will remain the same with Betta Cichlid Killies on Saturdays. And we'll be adding a new show, two young guys, science guys, Cam Muskelly and Dylan, and I apologize, Dylan, I don't have your last name here in front of me. But at any rate, we got two young high school students that are very much into science, and we're going to be debuting their first show coming up on January the 8th, the Friday, and they'll be the second Friday of every month, so you can join them for that. And their very first show is going to be the History of Paleontology, so we want our young listeners to check out for that. With that, you know, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Nature's Talk Show and press on the follow and like button.
Don't forget we're on Blog Talk Radio, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, definitely. We also want you to definitely push the follow button. we want you to please visit Nature's Talk Show website, www.naturestalkshow.com, and sign up and check out the newsletter. It keeps you updated with all the stuff that Ken was mentioning earlier and other things as well. Visit visit our store for coffee mug shirts and all kinds of other great stuff. Visit our chat room, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show. Ken Borman and other hosts are in the chat room. We'll listen to your answer your questions or take your suggestions and get the shows on you want to hear on. Also, go and listen to our archive shows. We have all these shows that you can listen to at your leisure. With that there, guys, I want to thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ron, for joining us tonight. And thank our listeners as well. I'm going to say goodnight and join us next time here on Nature's Talk Show. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Yeah, take care.
Night.
Good night.
Join us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and listen to us at www.naturestalkshow.com.